Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While Jesus was speaking, a woman from the crowd called out and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts at which you nourished." He replied, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a beautiful scene in today's Gospel, which somebody recognizes how lucky the Blessed Virgin Mary was to have a son like Jesus. So when this anonymous woman from the crowd cried out, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee," it would have been easy at one level for Jesus, who kept the fourth commandment and honored his mother, to just say, "Right." All the angels and saints would know that if ever a womb was blessed, it was her immaculate one. If any breasts were hallowed, it was hers that nourished the infant Savior of the world. But Jesus wanted to highlight something far more important than the physical, the biological, the maternal, according to the flesh, relationship Mary had with her son. He said that there's a much deeper bond that he wants for all of us. And this was the bond that characterized Mary more than anything else. "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." That the greatest source of Mary's beatitude was the fact that she was a believer. Just as St. Athanasius said in the 300s, before Mary had ever conceived the word of God in her womb, she had already conceived him in her heart. The great medieval paintings of the Annunciation had the Holy Spirit entering through Mary's ear in order for her to conceive the Word of God, because it had come precisely through her obedient faith. Jesus wants to be able to say that beatitude about every single one of us. More than the fact that we were baptized at so many days old, more than the fact that we're a daily mass goer, more than the fact of this, that, or the other thing, Jesus wants to be able to say of each of us that we are blessed precisely for hearing the word of God and observing it, putting it into practice. Mary, of course, as we pray before every mass in the Angelus, we say, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," and you all say, "Let it be done to me according to your word. Those were Mary's words to God through the archangel, that her whole life was going to develop, not just in rote, dutiful obedience to the Lord's word, but out of loving trust that that word was the truth on the basis of which she would find happiness here and forever. An obedient faith. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus had come down from heaven to earth, he said, to found a family. And on another occasion, a similar scene happened where Mary and all Jesus' cousins from Nazareth had come to see him. And the word came to him when he was inside a very crowded house preaching and healing that his mother and his family members were outside waiting to see him. And Jesus turned around and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sister. Whoever hears the word of God and acts on it is my mother, my brother, my sister." It's not enough for us merely to be baptized. That we've got to act on that baptism by hearing the Lord's word and doing it. Today's first reading, we see St. Paul writing to the Galatians about the types of works that are supposed to flow through faith. It's first faith. And faith comes through hearing. But then it's an act of faith that changes lives. It's not just so that we can pass a test on Jeopardy, so that it can really change our lives so that our lives won't be in jeopardy. And we can go out and help others likewise be saved. We see here something that I've preached a lot about in my priesthood. Because the people of God, especially here in New England, didn't hear this word of God and act on it. And it was funny, the other day, or yesterday actually, I had a priest classmate of mine who's a priest of the Archdiocese of Mobile, Alabama, who's a military chaplain, and he's studying at Salve Regina this year, came up for us to have some lunch and for us to catch on up. I was explaining to him a little bit about it, and he just couldn't believe how many churches there were here, especially how many ethnic churches. He said, how many French churches were there in Fall River, and how many Portuguese churches, and were there other languages too? And I start to explain to him there was Italian churches, there are Polish churches, we've got churches with all these types of ethnic groups, and he just looks and he's shaking his head like this. What did St. Paul tell us today in the letter to the Galatians? He said, those of us who have been baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free person, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. 100 years ago, 120 years ago, when immigrants were coming to Fall River, but it's not just Fall River, it's all over New England, we treated our ethnicity as more important than our Catholicity. If we were Irish, there were Frenchmen coming in. They were French. They weren't us. If they were Polish, if they were whatever. Our ethnic identity was more important. And that's why we had to build all other churches for every ethnic group, even though the Mass was in Latin. And I'm sure you remember the story when Immaculate Conception was being built, or before Immaculate Conception was being built. And the Irish came and asked the French pastor of Notre Dame for the ability to use the lower church to celebrate Mass until the time that they would have enough of a community, enough money to begin to build a church on their own. And the French pastor said, no. They said, we'll give you half the collection. We'll do it even in the middle of the morning. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, no. I was horrified when I was a pastor at St. Anthony's in New Bedford. And I'll never cease to tell the story because this was the cancer that had afflicted the church. If a French girl were marrying a Portuguese daily Mass goer, they had to get married in the chapel in the rectory because it would be a scandal for two Catholics to marry in a church if she was marrying somebody who wasn't French. We didn't take seriously our faith in Jesus. We didn't act on it. We thought that ethnicity divided and baptism didn't unite. It's very, very important for us to do this. All of pastoral planning that we're doing today is all about starting to right that wrong. We have a surplus of churches in our city because of the history of ethnicity being placed above Catholicity. But it's more than just getting past the ethnic stuff. We need to change a mentality. We're Catholics. And as Catholics, we are really brothers and sisters of everybody else. So how strange is it that we still have 12 different places in the city in which Catholics go for their weekly Thanksgiving meal? We still have too many churches. Even as ethnicity has gone down as a criterion, we still sometimes put parochial identity above our Catholic identity. It's important for us to hear what St. Paul is saying today, inspired by the Holy Spirit. To observe it, to act on it. That we are real, true family members of each other. As family members, that's going to change our mentality. And we're going to seek to be united with our family because that's our greatest identity of all. Today we celebrate the feast of Blessed, or now St. John the 23rd. St. John the 23rd was a person who grasped this essential lesson, which is one of the reasons why we celebrate his sanctity today. His papal motto, his episcopal motto, was Obedientia et Pax. Obedience and peace. Obedience comes from that Latin word ab audire. It means to listen so attentively, almost to eavesdrop on anything, to hang on every word. Obedience just doesn't mean you follow on the outside. It means you've got a real yearning on the inside because you want to hear every syllable so that you can follow it. And that's the type of faith he had. It was an obedient faith that sought to please God in everything. And obedience, he was stressing through his motto, leads to peace. Our modern world doesn't always think so. We think that peace comes when we call all the shots, where we're essentially God, where we're listening to nobody except our own opinions and our own whims and our own pleasures. John the 23rd teaches something totally different, that we're never going to have peace without obedience. And that obedience started very, very young. You know, he wrote his beautiful diary that he kept almost his entire life from the time he was just a teenager. It's called Journal of a Soul. And right at the beginning of the Journal of the Soul, he described what he thought was one of the most important principles of the spiritual life. That if we're going to hear the Word of God and act on it, we have to have a plan. Not just a wish that we're listening in such a way that we're not intending to disobey, but to actually have a plan. We call it a rule of life, a plan of life. And he wrote down practices he would do every single day, every single week, every single year, and then always norms, we'd call it, things that he was constantly trying to do no matter what, in order to help him act on the Word of God that he had heard. So every day, he would begin his day with 15 minutes of prayer as soon as he had gotten up, to be able to listen to what the Lord had been saying to him and act on it that day. He'd contemplatively pray the Holy Rosary. He'd go to Mass each day. He would read a little bit of sacred scripture and try to act on it. He would engage in acts of charity. Every week he would go to confession. Every week he would do certain corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Every year he would make his annual spiritual exercises. He'd do a few other things there. And his always norms were cheerfulness. His always norms were to think the best of others. But he had a real game plan so that the seed of the Word of God that has been planted in his heart wouldn't fail to bear fruit. That's a lesson that we all need to learn too. If we're going to hear the Word of God and observe it, we've got to have a plan. So I'd encourage you today on his feast day to think about what your plan is going to be. What's going to be your plan with response to hearing the Word of God? How are you going to ponder the Word that you hear every day at daily Mass? What's going to be the game plan? Are you going to recollect, for example, at noon and say, what was this morning's first reading? What was the responsorial psalm? What was the gospel? Have I been implementing what God said to me today, or is it just passed through the other ear? That would be one way to plan to observe the Word of God. Another would be meditatively to read through 10, 15 minutes of sacred scripture every day. If you were to do that, you'd read the entire Bible in a year. But then at the end of every reading, you'll come up with at least one point that you're going to want to act on, and that you'll call yourself to and come back to say, am I actually living this point? With regard to what St. Paul told us in today's first reading about the union that comes through our faith, how are you going to live that with regard to Catholics who may belong to other parishes, for example? Do you see your union as a Catholic as a greater thing than the fact that you belong to different parishes, for example? These are the ways that we act on it. And the more we're obedient to the Lord, the more peace we will find. And one day we will have the Lord say about us what he says about his mother, what he says about Angelo Roncalli. Blessed. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and observe it. Heaven is for those about whom Jesus can say these words. Through the intercession of St. John the 23rd, may we find that peace that comes only through this assiduous observation. Praise be Jesus Christ. Now and forever.